Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Stacy, Nirvana, she even likes Madonna. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty, best day of the week, Taco Tuesday. Boy, I'm excited. We smoked that pork shoulder this weekend.
Do you have any leftovers?
Very little, actually. Yeah. I was surprised. Otherwise, you guys would have had some Tupperware full.
No, that's fine. I figured you guys probably killed that whole pork roast in one day. I mean, it shrinks down a lot, yeah. You know, shrinkage and all that.
Yeah, we dented it, is probably the best way to say it, on Sunday night. And then I went home yesterday, made a sandwich, and slept for like 3 hours, dude. I was so gassed when I got home.
Tired yesterday.
And then there's a little bit left. It was like a 7-pound pork roast. We got a Hy-Vee or pork shoulder.
Yeah.
And then going to do like street-style tacos tonight.
Yeah, pork tacos, man, are good. I do like those a lot.
Is that a good start bench cut taco meats?
Yeah. I mean, I'm partial to seafood tacos. I love shrimp tacos. I love, you know, fish tacos. Not fried, grilled, blackened, you know, that kind of stuff.
You don't need like the best fish either. Like, no. You can do like blackened tilapia.
Yeah, tilapia works just fine in fish tacos. Cactus did an unbelievable salmon taco for a while. They've got to get that back on the menu. I keep telling them that, but they look at me like I've got 17 heads, and usually I do when I'm in there. But I do appreciate a good seafood heads. Taco, man. It's so good, man. Shrimp tacos, fish tacos, give me all that. I like carnitas. I like steak. Them all. Steak. It's all good, man. It's all good.
Yeah, Third Street Social's got a good.
Have you ever had a bad taco, though? Like,
yes.
You have.
Oh, yeah.
With what in it? Like tofu or jackfruit? These people who fried jackfruit.
I'm not a big fried taco guy. Like, I don't know, like the puffy tacos.
Oh, okay.
Now, I like a chalupa if I'm like been in the garage.
Yeah. No, I understand.
But
that.
I'm not like a big fried taco.
Oh,
guy.
I would never go fried. No.
Some people are nuts about them.
Yeah.
Like they get the meat in there, they fold them up, and then.
Isn't that an empanada, though, at the end of the day when you do that? Actually, Manny's has great, if you want to call them fried tacos, they're so greasy and delicious. Like just ground beef tacos at Manny's is some of the best you'll ever eat. But I do. I like them all, man. I don't think I've ever had a bad taco except one time somebody tried to tell me jackfruit was pulled pork, and it's not. Stop peddling that nonsense, man. It doesn't taste like pulled pork at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can't really have a bad taco, in my opinion. But, I mean, I'm not a fan. Like, just because they're, like, fried, still like, well, all we have is, like, fried tacos. I'd be like,
All right, fine.
You got sour cream?
Mm-hmm.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes.
Just don't understand. Like, I mean,
and that's an actual audio.
No, that's real.
Like, that's real. The other one is AI. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. The dinger thing is just like, I can't get over that. Like, I saw that and sent it to you guys, and I'm like, I'm sober hearing this, and I'm on the floor in tears.
Oh, it's hysterical. Like, the one they did last week was Jerry was great too. You can't play a lot of the, you know, some of the AI generated ones.
Can't really play hard. That's like the only clip I can play, and it's like towing the line of Spec coming in here and be like, Dusty, enough. Which I've heard that many times. But we had a conversation yesterday once we got, you know, to our, you know, rundown of what we're doing. And Sunday's game against the Bills, and you can chime in on this too. Text line 913-586-7965. What were your three best performances individually on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, number one's the referees, clearly. Yep. I thought they did a marvelous job. Number two is replay review. I thought they did a spectacular job as
hopefully
well.
Those refs are going to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, hopefully too. And then Roger Goodell, man, him radio downing and making sure that the Chiefs got all the calls to reinforce to the referees that we needed to get all the calls. I thought Roger Goodell was timely with all that of radioing down and making sure that the calls went in favor of the Chiefs. So I got the refs, the replay reviews, and Roger Goodell telling the refs what to do as my three best performances. Mac, you're first on the list. You can go.
Well, since you stole mine, I guess. Jeez, come on, man.
And Prios of the weekend, the referees.
Of course,
what are you talking about?
On the come, referees.
Yeah. Richard of the week. Anybody who didn't think the refs were good in the game.
Richard of the week, Chiefs.
Yes, exactly.
Mahomes, how dare he be so talented?
Oh, my goodness. How dare you be so good, Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo, and come up with better game plans than your opponent?
You said it, man. Spags has got to be on the list of best three performances on Sunday. That blitz on 4th and 5 is going to live forever rent-free in my head. That is insane. Just Josh
Allen
running for his life.
I saw a camera angle from behind the play. Ooh, yes. Warren Sharp tweeted this video out. Go watch it. Josh Allen from behind, and you just see 85 red jerseys flying at him. And then you see Dawson Kincaid drop what should have been a caught. Travis Kelce makes that catch. Patrick Mahomes leads the team to that drive. Just saying. 100%.
You know who the player was? It was right in the middle of his face blitzing.
Chris Jones was no.
Trent McDuffie.
McDuffie was there, yeah.
Karloftis
was there, yeah. Like, there were a lot of people there.
He had a wide open running back. If he throws it to him, he's gone.
Yeah, Shakir. Yeah, who was in the backfield, coming out of the backfield. Yeah,
I mean, I hate to be honest with you. Your guy just isn't as good as our guy. Just isn't.
Yeah, and you heard the right guard who went left and had McDuffie and Karloftis go right past him. The right guard didn't touch anyone. He said all day they were going on the left side. Spags switched it up. We had no idea. So there's Spags, number one for me. Mahomes, best game of the season. He saves it for this time.
Justin Reed, too, coming real fast at Josh Allen.
Yeah, Reed was there as well.
Justin Reed. I think
there was another defensive back.
You have Justin Reed coming in. You have McDuffie coming in as well. I mean, he comes in, goes back. I mean, and then you got your tight end wide open. You floated up. There could have been a little bit better of a pass. Mahomes throws a better ball than that. But either way, you got to catch that, right? If you're Dawson Kincaid, you got to make that play.
Yeah, if you're Dalton Knox, I mean, you've got to come down with that.
Is it Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox? Yes. Everybody's just effing this name up, and it's driving me nuts.
I'm messing with you,
Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. Yes.
Cleet Blakeman.
Joe Tooney for me, third best. Incredible. Didn't allow pressure on Sunday. That's incredible, man.
I was talking to somebody about that yesterday. I think I was on in Saskatoon, Canada at some point yesterday, and they were asking about some of the things that,
Saskatoon,
I don't know
Canada.
Where the hell it was.
Ooh,
I mean, and imagine that guy being your head coach. Imagine that guy being your head coach. Willy Wonka is who he looks like, and that guy's going to be the head coach and really get that team moving in the right direction. Unbelievable.
Duval.
Ooh.
They let that kid teach the class for a week.
Yeah, best of luck, Jacksonville. Like, you fired your GM, who probably should have been fired for that guy. Willy Wonka, lead them into the chocolate factory. What were we talking about? Oh, Tooney. So I was talking about Joe Tooney, how good that move has been since they bounced him out to the left tackle position. I mean, unbelievable Joe Tooney, man. Tip of the cap to that guy.
I just want to warn you, we've got 2 weeks. That conversation's going to erupt again.
Who should play left tackle? There's no conversation.
You know what I'm
going to
do with it? I'm going
to
ignore it.
Okay.
Yeah. If it goes in our rundown, I'm going to delete it.
Yeah. Understood.
We're not talking about the left tackle anymore.
I'm going to give you a wedgie at the Airbnb if you put it in our freaking rundown.
Because
it's over.
It's over.
It doesn't matter.
I agree. You know what else is going to be a topic all week?
Rest.
The referees, right? Another thing that we're not going to get involved in. Why do you suppose the referees are favoring the Chiefs?
The other conversation we talked about is, what on earth jerseys are they going to wear?
Yeah, they're wearing the white jerseys.
Philadelphia is the home team. They're not going to wear white.
Right, they're wearing the same uniforms as last time they played in the Super Bowl.
Did you know the rule of that, by the way?
The home team gets to pick.
But I know that rule, but how they figure out who's home and away.
Every other year, just alternates.
Didn't know that, And it's funny when you look it up, it's like, well, the AFC gets even years, and the NFC, just say every other year.
Yeah.
I was like, what are we doing?
Well, but if you don't know, like, which team, it's like.
Because obviously this is Super Bowl Sean Barber.
Right.
59.
That's right.
And then that's an odd number, so the NFC.
Yeah.
The AFC will get the even numbers.
The even numbers,
so next year the Chiefs will wear red.
Right.
This year they'll wear white, which kind of frustrating because I'll never buy a white Chiefs jersey, just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
So I won't get a Super Bowl jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somehow randomly the Philadelphia is like, you know what? We're going to wear white.
Yeah, I think they've already said they're wearing the green,
though. They should wear the Kelly green.
Oh, they can't. It's NFL rules. You cannot wear alternate jerseys in the postseason. Because
that's a rule they need to change.
It is because...
That's a rule you need to change.
My buddy who does Baltimore media and whatnot was like ripping the NFL or ripping the Ravens. How could you not wear the blackouts? And he's like, oops, little known fact, the NFL says you're not allowed to wear alternate uniforms in the postseason, which
sucks.
I think is stupid.
No fun league.
It's stupid.
They need to change that rule. They need to change the illegal man downfield rule. They need to at least make it like 3 yards, not one.
Well, the game has changed, and with all these RPOs and all that, you probably should
Like when you throw the ball at the line of scrimmage, as long as you have like a toe on the line, it counts. Now if you have like a toe on the line, you're a butt. It's like legal man downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two rules that need to change.
For me, three best performances: Patrick Mahomes, clearly. What did we say yesterday? He had like the greatest playoff performance of all time when you pretty look much at it statistically.
I mean, he had three touchdowns.
I got James Worthy on my list as well. I thought him and Magic were great out there on the court.
Like,
I mean,
James Worthy, man, come back.
I'll tell you what, James Worthy, man, he's out there dropping dimes, baby. And then I got to give a tip of the cap to Juju Smith-Schuster. My wife and I were watching the game again last night, and you know, the second play for Juju was great, but the first play that he made early on in the first half of that game, too, to put the Chiefs in great field position was awesome. That's a veteran player right there. Juju Smith-Schuster and Samaje Perine had three plays that they made in the game, and all three of those plays were very, very significant plays. So tip of the cap to Juju as well.
Somebody said, Dusty, you wouldn't buy a white jersey even if it meant a three-peat Super Bowl patch on it. I'll just buy the patch.
I'm not a big patch guy.
Depending on the significance of it. Like, I bought the World Series Kansas City Royals hat because it had the World Series patch. I was like, I may never see this again.
Also not a wear a jersey guy either anymore. Oh. You know, I wear the gear, but the jerseys for me, I'm like, eh.
This will be the first Super Bowl in 3 years I won't wear the Mahomes jersey over the hoodie. That's always the playoff outfit.
Well, now they're going to lose.
Well, I mean, I can't. Could you imagine me showing up to the Super Bowl press box in a Mahomes jersey?
Please.
You'd be like, dude, get out.
Get the hell out of here.
It's like one time I went there, the guy that went
to. Wait till you see the Super Bowl, you'll realize that's going to be the least of your concerns after you see the dregs that show up to this kind of stuff and what they're wearing. We had a guy in an animal mask and no feet or no shoes on the other day show up. You know?
How's he doing?
Well, I'm sure his feet are cold.
My three are a little interesting because I didn't want to have the topic of, like, we all have the same three guys. Mm-hmm. So I have one of the same of yours, and that's Xavier Worthy. I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but this man called a shot, and he was successful with it. He said, I want Buffalo to realize they messed up by not taking me. I use that as energy. He went out there. He's the best wide receiver on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
Both sides of the rosters.
Can we stop talking about how Mahomes now just doesn't have wide receivers? Like, is that a dead topic now? Is that, like put away for a while now? Well, Patrick Mahomes, I don't know. He just doesn't have any weapons.
I think it's been dead since week one this year.
Okay. But you never know with the low-hanging fruit media and when they get down to New Orleans and the topics they want to tackle that they think are original and new.
That'll be one.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Don't even know when he can beat man coverage.
Right, but Xavier Worthy was a volume receiver, not a selected receiver, which I think a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, he runs like a 4.2, whatever. He's really fast. Like, he's good for like three or four plays. Nah, man, Xavier Worthy is going to be a 9-target receiver every single game who's going to probably catch 6 to 7 of those targets and turn it into either 70, 80, or 120 yards. Like, the fear of Xavier Worthy is beginning, and it's crazy to see that rookie receiver followed by a rookie receiver from last year who will both play together next year, all drafted by your general manager. You ask why they're in a three-peat. You ask why people hate them. Because of Brett Veach. He can't draft receivers. That's back-to-back wide receiver ones for them. So Xavier Worthy gets a lot of praise. Hollywood Brown, man, he kind of set the tone.
Yeah, he did.
Right? Like, I think this is kind of probably a big homer take, and I'll own that. But Travis Kelce was better without being a target because they were just like, we're taking 87 away. We'll give you whatever. Hence the fact that Juju Smith-Schuster, the game that he had, Hollywood Brown on the first drive was big, kind of like was like, okay, we don't need Travis Kelce on this drive. We'll just go to the open guy. We'll take the guy that is the, you know, the most open person or the guy that has the best look. It was Hollywood Brown. Now, again, didn't really do much. Had three receptions, I think three of which were in the first half. Never caught a ball again after the first half, but he did his job and set the tone on that first drive.
And I love the fact that you're viewing this game the right way from a non-fantasy standpoint, where everybody views these things from a fantasy standpoint, because you said Travis Kelce had a good game, but he only had 19 yards receiving. He did have a good game because he attracted so much attention that other guys were able to work. And when you look at the stat sheet, people go, Travis Kelce's washed. He wasn't involved. No, Travis Kelce basically took 3/4 of the defense on one side of the field and left everybody else open. That's how it works in the NFL. Put your fantasy stats in a pipe and smoke them.
Please. He also had one of the biggest catches in the game, considering the timing and the execution. And then once again, I think, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. Harrison Butker was awesome.
Yeah.
Was there when they needed him, hit the field goals when they needed him to hit them, hit the extra points once again in the playoffs, and Harrison Butker continues to be one of the greatest kickers to ever play in the National Football League. And what did so many teams do throughout time, right? Like, Washington beat Buffalo in the Super Bowl with a field goal kick. You know, Adam Vinatieri was a great field goal kicker, and New England could trust that guy, and that's exactly what happened. And so when you put all those and factor them all in together, like, you need that guy, and Harrison Butker consistently been that guy for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, he's been outstanding, and so it's good to be able to rely on that kicker. That's why when he was out for so long, for 4 weeks or whatever, I was all like, oh my God, you know, we're so used to just relying on a guy. Now we got somebody hitting uprights and knocking balls through, which the refs did a great job of moving the goalposts so it hit the upright the right way to go through to give us that win against the Chargers, of course. Ugh.
The 8-1-6 has Juwan Taylor, biggest star of the game.
Had a great game.
Didn't hear his name.
Had a great game.
That's what they said. First time I've never heard his number called for a boneheaded penalty.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah,
I was
too.
Afraid of getting like a huge first down, like second half, like third and
seven.
Oh, I was
afraid of the refs going into the game because I thought they were going to overcorrect. And yeah, we'd see something like that, big play, and then they're 74, you know, going,
I did kind of have that for a little bit going into the game. It kind of died out around like 4:30, but I'm with you because, you know, you were listening to everybody's hits on the radio and whatnot, and I was like, man, I feel like they're going to like either swallow their whistles or they're going to be over the top because they want to, you know, whatever. And they weren't.
And they were. There were 5 penalties for the Chiefs, 6 for Buffalo that were accepted. I mean, it's a very low penalty game. The refs did an amazing job. Yeah. Bonus them, man. They were good.
Very good job for the referees on that game. You know, I don't have any complaints. It's just going to be weird having to take that stuffed animal head back. Like, imagine that.
Yeah, taking that thing and leaving the game with that. Do you leave that in the locker room or do you save that? Because you're not going to wear that again. Once you've worn the animal head.
You better not leave it in the locker room. Somebody for the Chiefs will put that thing on a spike and put it out in the front of the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get rid of that thing.
Somebody in equipment hid that thing fast after the game. Does that guy wear shoes when he leaves the game?
That's what I was wondering, too. Is it barefoot after, too?
And how come we never see the players leaving the game? We always see him arriving, which I'm not a huge fan. I don't need that in my life. I know some people like that, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to see him leaving the game when they're all depressed. Like, get a camera in that dude's face and show his feet when you're leaving a game after getting beat by the Chiefs.
You, Rex Ryan?
I just want to see if he's going. If you're going to go barefoot in, you better be going barefoot out. You can't sell this. I go barefoot everywhere but on the football field and have a pair of, you know, Dockers on as you're leaving.
So, moving on from the three good players are our three best performances in Sunday's game. How many greats or greatest of all time do you think the Chiefs currently have on their roster?
It's interesting. I did some deep diving into this yesterday because I think we're in, you know, in this.
They say never dive alone.
I know, and I didn't. They say, you know, hyperbolic, you know, at times we kind of live in the moment and whatnot.
Are you reading the text line?
No, I'm not, actually. This is what I look at all morning long.
Rush the field?
Put your camera on that so people can see what I look at all morning long. That is the only thing that I look at all morning long on my computer.
He's back tonight,
and
by the way.
And Binkley is back tonight, baby. You got the character concerns, you know, draft show coming up because the draft is getting ready to start.
Him and Chris DeCero.
Binkley will be on with us tomorrow at 6:45, but that's what I look at every day. I look at Jay every day. Gives me inspiration.
Hey, somebody, Matt Collis, guy who wore shoes. I know a guy who builds shoes. Matt Collis, not a great football player. Nobody knew who he was 2 years ago.
You sound like Gruden and Binkley had a child.
Yeah, I guarantee you, Binkley would think about that.
Really? You think? Wait, no. Hang on a second, Dusty. Binkley, I know there's no thinking. Yeah.
Binkley, I know you're heterosexual, but would you sleep with Gruden to potentially have a child with him? You know, Dust Man's actually a great point because it could technically happen. 13 seconds.
So you know, the hyperbolic state we're in, and there are a lot of all time greats, obviously, on
tight
this
end.
Team. Tight end,
quarterback.
Yep.
Coach.
Yeah.
GM.
Yeah.
Kicker.
That's a debate we can get into. And defensive tackle are the two others. Defensive tackle and kicker are the ones that I'm like, let's hold on a second here.
D coordinator?
Yeah. I mean, okay. The only other person you could potentially, in my opinion anyway, put on that list is Bill Cowher. But his successes were with Pittsburgh, not with Kansas City, as the defensive coordinator. He, you know, he was here for a hot minute. And so you could potentially put him on that list as defensive coordinator. But no, Steve Spagnuolo has won 3 Super Bowls, you know, or 4 Super Bowls, however many he's won. So he's the greatest of all time. But there is a debate at defensive tackle and kicker. There are only 38 defensive tackles in the Hall of Fame for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. For a sport that's been around 105 years, there are 38 defensive tackles in the Hall of Fame. 2 of them are members of the Kansas City Chiefs, Curley Culpa and Buck Buchanan. And then you look at the kickers as well. There are 4 kickers in the Hall of Fame. Two of them are Kansas City Chiefs. Morton Anderson, tail end of his career, obviously. And then, of course, Jan Stenerud, who was the first kicker ever put into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so when we start talking about the greatest of the greats, yes, the greatest tight end, he is better than Tony Gonzalez. Even though Tony's in the Hall of Fame, I think even Tony would say Travis Kelce's better than him. Head coach, no debate. Defensive coordinator, no debate. Quarterback, no debate. So defensive tackle, Chris Jones will probably be in the Hall of Fame. He will probably be the third defensive tackle for the Chiefs put into the Hall of Fame. And I do believe Harrison Butker's headed to the Hall of Fame at this point in time. I mean, the guy is as automatic as they go, and he makes his biggest kicks in the postseason. That's when you become a star, and that's when your legacy grows. I think he'll end up being in the Hall of Fame. And so you can add those two in kind of to that greats of the great. And for me, it's hard to compare eras, you know, the 60s versus today. I think it's harder to play than it was back then when, you know, guys were working at the lumberyard in the offseason to make ends meet. But, I mean, you're still talking about a team that has two of the 38 defensive tackles in the Hall of Fame. So there's been a pretty big legacy here in Kansas City of great players. Chiefs have 25 members of their organization in the Hall of Fame, and they'll have a lot more after this.
Damn, that's a lot. 25, that's got to be up near the top, right? Did you look at that list? I'd like to see how many the Chiefs compare to, you know, Packers.
Yeah,
some of the,
probably a ton of Steelers, and a ton of Niners.
Yeah,
and
it goes 25 with, you had a cup of coffee. Like, Willie Rofe's on that list. Okay, Morton Anderson's on that list. Like, Bobby Bethard is considered part of the Chiefs organization, even though he was here for a hot second in the 70s and made his way elsewhere.
Okay.
And so it's people who have had ties and worked for and or played for at some point in time. But still, 25 guys in the Hall of Fame for an organization that up until now really didn't have a great history of winning. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here, right? 50 years without making it to the Super Bowl. Not a great history of winning until recently. Still had all of those players in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, they're creating those quote-unquote GOATs right now because of the culture and because of the infrastructure that they've created.
Yeah.
I mean, the chemistry within that building, how united they are. And, I mean, it was so funny. I saw a tweet yesterday from one of the Chiefs reporters saying, you know, yeah, it'll look like Andy Reid's going to stick with their normal Super Bowl routine. I mean, that's where this organization's come. Like, does your team have a normal Super Bowl routine? It's absurd, man.
Well, Andy Reid probably had a normal Super Bowl routine, guys, before he even went to a Super Bowl. And that's the kind of, detail and whatnot that Andy Reid, that's why he's successful. It's not a secret as to why this guy's successful. Everything is taken care of, and they know what they're going to do constantly.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.